This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Caps hockey coming up at 6:45 as they take on the Devils, looking for their third straight win. Toby Altizer with you till then. Want to hop in? Feel free, 800-636-1067. MGM National Harbor listener lines are open. You can always tweet at me at Toby_Altizer as well. Calvert King tweeted at me and said, players see the arrow trending up for this team. Good players are going to want to come play here. I couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. And it's for plenty of reasons, right? Jaden, near the top of that list. I think seeing this fan base revitalized, I don't know that it's there yet. But when you start seeing how this thing is turning around, I think people are going to want to come play for this fan base. I think people are seeing the way that this organization is being run in terms of how people are treated. They're going to want to play here. If you haven't heard, I'm not sure where you could find it right now. Maybe go back. It was a couple weeks ago, but Grant was telling a story on G&D about how there was a player. He didn't say which one, but there was a player, and he'd gotten injured, and Adam Peters personally texted his family to let him know what was going on, what the treatment was, what stage they were in, what the treatment options are going to be, all that stuff. That is perfect on how to treat a player because they care about that stuff, keeping the family up to date, how you treat the family, having stuff for them to do. That's how you win on the edges.
Even while we're on Adam Peters, like, did you see him walking everybody into the locker room, greeting everybody when they came
Absolutely.
In? It's doing things the right way. Like high class level stuff.
Well, and so this is what Josh Harris talked about when he bought the football team. And I think, like you said, Adam Peters is doing it and it's working perfectly with what they're trying to accomplish here. In baseball, there's no salary cap. So you can win by literally opening up the checkbook. The Yankees have done it for years. The Dodgers agreed to $1 billion worth of contracts this offseason. So in a lot of ways, not to say that that stuff doesn't matter with baseball, but it doesn't matter as much because you can just throw as much money as you want at any problem. In sports like basketball and football and hockey, anything with a salary cap, everybody's got the same amount of money. So how do you win? You got to find edges. And sometimes those edges aren't found in contracts. It's found in how you treat people off the football field. It's found in how you just different ways to win. Your facilities, what do they look like? And they understand they need work over there, but they're trying to put in the work to help with those things. It's the little things here and there where suddenly, you know, take for example someone like Austin Ekeler. I don't know what his, you know, what his contracts were that he was offered in the offseason. I don't know how many different places were looking for him, but take for example an Austin Ekeler. If he has an option to go somewhere else or here, the way that he's been treated here, he's going to want to come here. You think that's not going to impact the way that he talks to his former teammates and the various things that various guys that he talks to? So I think those sorts of things, the way that they're going about it, absolutely right. The way that things are going around here, the plenty of things that they're doing correctly, stuff, frankly, we haven't been able to say about this organization in a long time. And in turn, I think you're going to see players, yes, want to come play here. But there are some big headlines around the National Football League going into Week 7. I want to talk about a couple of them. The number one headline for me, I think is a little bit crazy, is the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to start Russell Wilson this week after getting off to a 4-2 start with Justin Fields at quarterback. And Tomlin didn't officially name him the starter, but reports today are saying that Wilson's going to get the start. George Pickens basically said at his locker the other day that he was working extra practice because Wilson was going to get his first start. So all signs are pointing towards Russell Wilson getting the start on Sunday. And I just don't get it. I absolutely do not get it. Neither one of these guys are owed a lot of money. Neither one of these guys are under contract for next season. So neither one of them is owed anything. You're 4-2. It's not like you're 2-4. You're 4-2 with Justin Fields. And you're taking away a huge part of what this offense has been by benching Russell Wilson, or benching Justin Fields for Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is going to be a better passer than Justin Fields. I don't think there's any question about that. But you're taking away all of the running ability from the quarterback position when you bench Justin Fields for Russell Wilson. And a big part of their offense this year has been Justin Fields' ability to escape the pocket and make plays with his legs because their offensive line isn't very good. And I think something that's missing the point here, and I think this is why I really don't like this move, it's one thing if you were benching Justin Fields for a high-level pocket passer processing type of player. Maybe Joe Flacco, Andy Dalton to an extent, those sorts of quarterbacks. I don't know that necessarily those exact players, but those sorts of quarterbacks that played from the pocket, they're able to go from 1 to 2 to 3, get through their progressions, those sorts of guys, I could understand it because watching ESPN the other day, Andrew Hawkins was kind of working through where Justin Fields was missing some guys, going through his reads and talking about the frustration. And by the way, he was saying, you know, guys start to get frustrated and they're not going to, you know, they're going to check out and various things. I don't know that he used those words exactly, but if a guy is on your football team and you're 4-2 when he starts to check out, maybe you don't need that guy on your football team anymore. You're 4-2. You're winning games. I don't know. But when you bench Justin Fields for Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson just has to be that much better as a passer to get rid of all of the run game. And I just don't think he is. It's one thing to bring in a guy that's going to be able to improve the passing game significantly. But if you've watched Russell Wilson the last couple of years, he's not going to. He will improve it. But acting as if Russell Wilson, even in his prime with the Seattle Seahawks, was a guy that played quarterback in a way that, you know, he was sitting in the pocket and playing the traditional quarterback style where he's working through his progressions and getting the ball out on time. I don't know. We don't recall the same Russell Wilson in Seattle then. That's not how he played with the Seahawks. He played very off schedule. He was rolling out of the pocket. He was always under control. He threw a nice deep ball. But he was never somebody that was just sitting in the pocket. One, he's small. But he was never somebody who was just sitting in the pocket and throwing the football and always accurate and going. He was all those things outside of the pocket. And Russell Wilson's lost a step in that sense. And so you're not bringing in this elite-level processing passer. You're bringing in a guy that lived off of his mobility and ability to create outside the pocket when he's older and can't do those things. And in turn, you're benching a guy that lives off all those things and is maybe a top five athletic quarterback in the entire league. I don't understand it. And Mike Tomlin has earned the benefit of the doubt, but I don't think he's right on this one. And maybe it's something where they go right back to Justin Fields, but to me, you're a 4-2 football team. The quarterback that led you to 4-2 is the one that you should stick with. It's one thing if you had just paid Russell Wilson like the Broncos had, I would understand it. You understand they're paying neither of these guys basically anything. They didn't give up draft capital barely for either one of them. So they're not owed anything. And also, if you're looking ahead to your future, I don't know that Justin Fields is the quarterback of your future, but I can tell you one thing. Russell Wilson for sure is not. So what's the point? Like, I don't think it makes sense at all. I don't think he improves you in the short term. I don't think he improves you in the long term. I think the floor is a little higher with Russell Wilson, but you're 4-2. So why are you benching the guy with the higher ceiling? It makes no sense to me. None whatsoever. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, I wouldn't have been surprised if this were something in a couple weeks, if Fields was playing poorly and all of a sudden they'd fall into 4-4 or something like that. They're a 4-2 football team and you're benching your quarterback. Just doesn't make any sense to me. Makes none whatsoever. Let's take a break. When we come back, some other NFL headlines. We'll get into those next. Some intriguing debuts. And also, another quarterback might be returning in the AFC. We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Overtime on the Fan. Going to turn it over to Caps Hockey coming up at 6:45 as the Caps look for their third straight win. How about it? Started a little slow in game one. Been rolling ever since. Tom Wilson, a goal in all three games. Rolling out the gates. How about we get Ovi a goal tonight? Couple assists the other night to get to 700 assists. Sixth player ever, 700 goals, 700 assists. Just keep racking up the accolades. But while you're doing it, Ovi, why don't we go ahead and get that record? What'd you think about them moving him to the right wing for him to never play the right wing the other night?
It threw me for a loop when I saw the lineup, and then it was same old, same old.
It's the right wing. He's listed as a right wing. He ain't playing right wing.
He'll never play right. No, not a chance.
He's just naturally, his skates just go to the left. It's just how it works, right? He can't help it. It's office.
No, I mean, when you play like that for 30 years, yeah, your tendencies are going to stick around.
Toby Altizer with you till 6:45. NFL headlines, like we talked about. I don't like the Steelers going to Russell Wilson, but that might just be a 1 or 2 week thing, to be honest. That might just be something they tried out.
It'll be short-lived for sure.
The counterpoint is their offense isn't very good, and so maybe they just try something else. If it doesn't work, you just go back to what you had before. Maybe. But you're also 4-2.
I mean, people forget how bad Russ was last year for the Broncos. Yeah. Like, it was Deshaun Watson levels of abysmal.
Not good at all. Couple of wide receivers making their debuts. Amari Cooper got traded from Cleveland. He's going to make his debut for the Bills. Devontae Adams making his debut for the Jets. So a couple of things off of this. With the Adams going back to the Jets, or going to the Jets to work with Rodgers, they have that special connection that we were talking about earlier about Jaden building with Terry. They're so fun to watch. Having spent time working in Milwaukee and watching those guys every single week, the level at which they got to, those two just working together, it's like master's level stuff. It's so fun to watch. Now, I think it'll be incredibly interesting if it turns out to be like how Green Bay was at times, where the offense no longer was Green Bay's offense. It was just Aaron Rodgers throwing to Devontae Adams and occasionally looking other guys' way. If he stays as what he was doing, where he gets the ball to Garrett Wilson, they're running the ball with Breece Hall, getting Braylon Allen involved, if they do all that stuff while adding Devontae, I think their offense gets better. If it just suddenly turns into 8 throwing to 17 every single play, I don't know that it gets any better. So that's going to be something intriguing to watch. But as a football fan, watching Rodgers throw to Devontae, there's not much better than watching that. It's just so much fun. Rodgers, I know people hate him because of what he does off the field and how crazy he is. If he isn't one of the most fun quarterbacks to watch, maybe not anymore, but he was one of my favorites. And the way that he throws the football, even now, it's just different than everybody else. I love watching him flick the ball around. It's incredible. Other guy making his debut for a new team, Amari Cooper, making his debut for the Bills. So this is intriguing to me. When you go back and look at Matt Stafford early in his career, he was okay when he had Calvin Johnson. And then when Calvin Johnson left, he learned how to play quarterback and he really improved because he didn't have that security blanket. People talk about that from my time in Wisconsin. People talked about that way with Brett Favre and Sterling Sharp. When he lost Sharp, he no longer had the security blanket. He had to play quarterback a little bit more. Josh Allen needed Stephon Diggs because that really unlocked his career, and Josh Allen turned into one of the best in the league. They took him away, and the first couple weeks of the season, Josh Allen looked like a totally different quarterback. The yards were down, but the running game was more impactful, and he was going through his reads, and he didn't play hero ball as much. He was playing the quarterback position really, really well. The last couple of weeks, they've missed the fact that they didn't have a true playmaker. If Josh Allen adds in Amari Cooper and still plays the quarterback position like he did early in the season, look out. Look out. Now, if all of a sudden he goes back to just trying to force feed it to his guy, it'll be a little bit different. But I think sometimes when you take away that number one option and you just make a guy find the open man, I mean, that's what playing quarterback ultimately is about, right? It's usually supposed to be just, if you're playing in the backyard, it's find the open dude and throw it to him. Well, when you simplify it sometimes and you take away a guy like Stephon Diggs, sometimes these quarterbacks, they'll learn and they'll start doing that. And then they improve because now you put the excellent players back in there so that there's a guy always open. Amari Cooper is one of the best route runners in the league still. He's so slept on. He's one of the best wide receivers in the league that you never hear about. Never hear about. I mean, when was the last time that you heard about Amari Cooper? About anything?
Well, see, I've heard plenty this year about how he's like first in the league in drops and all this, like these terrible stats. But he also started out the year not wanting to be in Cleveland, period.
Well, there's plenty of people that don't want to be in Cleveland.
Correct.
I'm not even talking about the city because I like the city of Cleveland. I'm not trying to take a dump on Cleveland.
He was just very vocal about it, like even prior to the season starting. He was like, I think he posted on his Instagram story, like, get me out of here or something like that, which incredible post to before the season. But he drove to Buffalo that night. He's very clearly like thrilled to be in Buffalo.
Oh, absolutely.
And, yeah, I think sky's going to be the limit for him.
And I think as long as Josh Allen doesn't just go into force feed Cooper the ball, I think they're going to be fantastic. That's what they needed. You know, I think they needed to move on from Diggs. There was clearly a bad marriage there. Things had gone wrong, gotten sour. So they needed to move on, but they needed a guy. Especially when you're going to go up against some really, really good teams in that AFC, you need a guy that you can depend on. And they just didn't have it. I like Khalil Shakir. They haven't used Curtis Samuel nearly at all. I think James Cook is a good running back. You know, Kincaid is a good tight end, but they needed someone that was that next level, and they just didn't have it. So now you add a guy that can be that. That's going to be intriguing to watch, and I think, like I said, they could be a real juggernaut if Josh Allen continues playing like he did early in the season while also adding in an elite wide receiver in Amari Cooper. Other things to keep an eye on, we were talking about some in the break. Will Levis, not going to be starting for Tennessee this week. Looks like there's an injury there, an AC joint sprain, but he's not starting this week. He could miss a couple of weeks, so Mason Rudolph, I don't really care.
Who does?
Does that increase their chance or decrease their chance of winning, or does it stay the exact same?
I think it just keeps it exactly the same. It does not change at all.
Exactly. I don't want to claim to be smarter than people, but like, did you really think Levis was the answer?
It was worth a shot, I guess. But
was it though?
Yeah. I mean,
was Levis even that good at Kentucky? No.
Now there's your question.
No.
No.
No. When he played real competition at Kentucky, he was not very good.
He kind of turtled, and it didn't end well.
So no. The answer was no. Whatever. Sometimes you get stuck in a situation like the Raiders did this year, and you end up starting Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell. So, I don't know. Sometimes it happens.
A lot of teams have been finding themselves in those type of spots lately.
You know who's not? Washington Commanders.
That's right, baby.
Jaden Daniels. Another quarterback potentially making his return. Tua. Going to return to practice.
I'm sorry. I couldn't resist.
Tua Tagovailoa. I just need to clarify. Tua Tagovailoa is going to return to practice this week, and he could return in week 8. And something I think is big here. Obviously, we want Tua to do well. We want him to be okay. I'm not going to tell you whether he should retire or not. That's up to him. We've had this discussion. People have talked about this ad nauseum, so I'm not going to add to it. You just hope, because he's a really talented quarterback. Maybe he's not everything that he was cracked out to be. You remember it was Tank for Tua and all that stuff from his time at Bama. But I think what you're seeing is Tua is an incredibly unique quarterback in the way that he plays, and it fits perfectly with what Mike McDaniel wants to do. And as soon as you take out Tua, it falls apart. It's, you know, whether they should pay him or not, he fits perfectly with what they do. He plays, it's like a point guard. And we talk about that with some quarterbacks, but it truly is like that with Tua. It's so quick. The ball is precise. I don't know how you defend it when they're at their best. They're so fast, and Tua just takes a snap and the ball's out. And he's accurate where it needs to go. It's such a unique way to play the quarterback position that it doesn't look impressive in terms of what they're doing, because they're not throwing the ball down the field typically. It's a lot of short underneath stuff. But just watch the way that Tua, if he gets back out on the football field this year, I think you just have to appreciate how he plays the game. Regardless of what his expectations were, I think you have to appreciate the way that he works because of his ball handling ability. Just watch the way that he makes some of the flips that he makes to different guys. Even the simple stuff. Like, they run this play where it looks ridiculous, where Tua turns the wrong direction, like he's running a handoff to the left. He turns that way and then flips it out the other way. How many quarterbacks can make that flip? It's simple stuff. It looks kind of quirky and weird, but Tua's able to do it so well. I think what this has shown with him being injured is how valuable he is. And while he's not ever going to wow you with his arm strength, he's never going to wow you with his running ability, he's incredibly precise, and he's such a quick processor, and it works perfectly when you combine it with a great schemer like Mike McDaniel. And I don't know that there's a single other quarterback in the league that can run the offense like Tua does it. I'm not saying that there wouldn't be a quarterback that would be better in that scheme because Mike McDaniel would adapt it, but I'm serious about this. There's not a single other quarterback in the league that you plug in there and can run that offense like Tua runs it. It's just, there's not another quarterback like Tua in my mind. The way that he's able to handle the ball, the quickness, the speed at which he processes, how accurate he is with the football. I really miss watching him play in that Dolphins offense because it's just so unique. It's a very unique style of football. They can run the ball. It's a track team, and you just got to get the ball in their hands, and it's so creative, and they've missed him. So, you know, if he gets back out on the field in week 8, I think, you know, for me, I'm just going to appreciate Tua when he's out there on the field. He's a great player. He's fantastic to watch, and I'm intrigued, and hopefully he's able to stay on the field for a long, long time to come. Couple other quick storylines going in this week. Ricky Pearsall making his NFL debut. Really cool. We remember what happened with Brian Robinson here, and it was, you know, obviously tragic, and then he was able to get back out on the football field. That was really cool to see. It's going to be really cool to see Pearsall get out on the field for the 49ers. And just in terms of football, I think he's going to help them out a lot. They need what they lack in that wide receiver room is really just a route runner. You know, Ayuk, I think, is a decent route runner. Debo, I don't think, is really a good route runner at all. Debo's unique. But they need a true wide receiver that just runs routes well and gets open. I think Pearsall is going to give that to them. I think, you know, that's another added element that'll help out that offense. Last thing, and I think this one's kind of dumb, but the NFL is considering narrowing the field goal posts in the future because of how kickers have been.
Again?
They're considering it.
Ugh.
I don't like it. I personally don't mind. It's not a, by the way.
Who cares?
By the way. You can answer this for me, Max. Does every team have a kicker that can knock through 55-yarders?
No.
No, because Washington hasn't had one.
Correct.
Like, Washington, other guys have figured it out, like, you're looking at a handful of guys that are that good. And by the way, they should get what they're getting paid, right? Like, Justin Tucker's even struggling right now on 50-plus yarders.
He looks washed.
So, no, don't narrow the field goal post just because, you know, Brandon Aubrey is doing stuff that everyone else can't do. Don't do it. Just because one or two guys can do it, don't make it harder for everyone else. And don't do it to Washington because they might not be able to find a kicker that can make it through the narrower field goal post.
Please.
Don't do it. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up. We'll talk a little bit of the Caps and give our predictions for Commanders and Panthers tomorrow. Final couple minutes here on Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up to Caps hockey. We'll turn it over to them coming up in just a couple of minutes. We'll get you a Caps preview. Max is dialed in, so we'll get his thoughts on the Caps-Devils game tonight. We'll give you our predictions for the Commanders game in just a second. We got to talk about, we just saw this in the break. We were discussing it in the break. We're watching Alabama-Tennessee. College football has to do something about this injury / fake injury thing. They are faking injuries at astronomical rates, so that they slow down these fast offenses, and it is egregious and bad. We're watching Alabama and Tennessee. Tennessee is about to snap the football. Alabama substituting a couple of guys, and they realize they're in a bad spot, have too many or don't have enough, and there's a guy standing on the white of the sideline, and the coach literally pushes him and says, go down. That is unacceptable. That is horrible. That should not be allowed. I don't know how you fixed it the way that we were talking in the break. I said if the snap is imminent and a player goes down with an injury, then that's a 15-yard penalty and a first down because they gave him a 5-yard penalty. That's all it was. Not even a guaranteed first down. That's wrong. And there's ways that you could maybe figure it out, but Mississippi's done it a lot this year. Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, they've done it a lot this year. I don't know. It's a little shady. If a player is actually injured, you never want them to actually, you know, get penalized for that. I get that, but it's not good. Not good. It's got to be fixed. Looking ahead to tomorrow, Commanders, Panthers. What do you think the score is going to be? What do you like for Northwest Stadium tomorrow?
I want to be cocky and I want to predict like a 35-10 win, but the defense really just hasn't shown enough. I want to put it in somewhere in the 35-24 range.
Okay. So one thing that I want, and I'm trying to figure out how they're going to do it, is I want a Darryl Green tribute, but in the game somehow. So is it something where you win by 28, you score 28 points, return a punt for a touchdown, perhaps a pick six?
I'm going to say Mike Sanders still pick six. I love that.
I don't necessarily want this one, but maybe Chuba Hubbard breaks one and someone chases him down. I don't know. But I want to see a Darryl Green tribute somehow in the game. So how about 38-10? So they win by 28. Is that a little much? 38-10, Commanders. Real quick, last 30 seconds or so. Max, give us a preview of Capitals and Devils tonight.
I mean, I'm very excited. Jacob Chychrun's been playing great. I think Lindgren's going to be back in net, so I'm looking forward to a good show. Hopefully Ovi gets a goal tonight.
Yeah, I think it'd be nice to see Ovi get one in the back of the net. He's had a couple of assists. You know, it's been nice to see this team get rolling. That first game, they hadn't played yet, and they'd played 3 or 4 games. So yeah, it's kind of a weird scheduling thing where, of course, they're going to be rolling a little bit, and the Caps are a little rusty.
It's been very bizarre. I'm glad, but the Caps got their legs under them. They've been knocking out undefeated teams left and right.
They're rolling. It's nice to see. Thanks to all the people that joined us today, Ryan Horvat, Alex Zetlow, Keith Smith. Appreciate them for joining us earlier today. If you missed anything, you can always rewind on the Odyssey app or check out the podcast. Appreciate Max doing all the hard work behind the scenes. It's going to do it for me. Caps Hockey comes up next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.